Hello, I'm Josh.
And I'm Christy, and you're listening to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast,
where we focus on helping you become a family who lives, loves, and leads well. The other day, we were driving down the road, and it was an opportunity for me to be able to connect with Christy, and I happened to look over, and she's on her telephone. Texting
my telephone,
your telephone,
my cell phone,
your iPhone. And it was one of those moments where I did a bad husband faux pas, if you will.
I'm glad you said that and I didn't have to call you out on that.
And what I did was if you've ever been in a situation like this, you're driving down the road with your spouse and you want to start talking to your spouse, but your spouse is in the passenger seat. I hope they're in the passenger seat, not the driver's seat on the phone, but in the passenger seat on the phone, and you're talking, and you're like, now, wait a second, are you with me? And so I made the comment, I said, honey, do you want to join us? The kids were in the car, too, and I said, honey, do you want to join us? And that didn't go over very well, did it?
It did not go over very well. And I think when you ask, have you ever had this happen, I think everyone has had this happen. This is what 21st century family life looks like.
Yeah, so today we're talking about addressing the elephant,
iPhone,
in your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an opportunity to be able, because Christy and I have dealt with this personally in our own relationship, and the one area we found that it was causing the greatest contention for us,
for sure,
in our relationship,
and
was the iPhone.
The more people we've talked to, just friends and family, and everyone is dealing with this issue. It's a thing. It's a real thing.
Yeah. So I mean, here's the reality. So you're driving down the road with your spouse.
Okay. Can I tell my version of the story?
You go ahead.
Okay. So we're driving down the road. I'm not actually sure where we were going at this point, but we were driving all together as a family. Sure. The kids are in the back. They're not paying attention to us anyway. I am on my phone. And what am I doing? I'm grocery shopping because we can, because Walmart grocery pickup is awesome. And if you don't do it, you need to. It will literally change
and
your life.
And if my wife had not been getting groceries, I would have been not eating that week. Correct?
Yes. Thank you. So what I was doing was grocery shopping. And granted, I understand you did not know that. You thought I was, I don't know, what, on Facebook or something?
Probably. Of course, we always assume the worst, right?
Right.
We assume the worst about what our spouse is doing on the phone because we just feel like, wait a minute, they're not engaging me right now. I feel like that iPhone is more important, or whatever it is you're doing on that iPhone is more important than me in that moment. And so that's our first instinct. And so we go on the attack.
Totally. And I've heard a lot of couples, a lot of friends actually, talking about, you know, they crawl into bed at night and their husband is rolled over on his side on his iPhone doing something. And they assume it's for work, or maybe they're checking ESPN scores or something like that. But, you know, maybe he was actually doing something. In his mind, you know, he's trying to get ahead for the next day. He's trying to catch up. Or I know in your case, like, that's about the only time of the day you actually have to yourself to do something like check sports scores, which is
at
what
end
you
of the
would
day.
Do.
Yeah. Yeah. And what we're going to talk about today are different strategies that Christy and I have implemented into our own marriage, and just different ways that we can navigate this whole technology issue within the context of marriage so that our hearts are for each other, mm-hmm. and that we're not feel like we're competing with the phone in the context of our marriage.
And I think
as we navigate this, the biggest issue I think that we have to, as spouses, understand is, and this is one of the through various conversations, and I say friendly pillow talk conversations that Christy and I have had through all of this, is really understanding that there's an underlying motivation behind our spouse's accusation. There's a reason that they're making the accusation that they are, and they're likely feeling hurt. And I think that the opportunity for us to be able to stop defending ourselves, but to be able to see a grain of truth, just a small grain of truth in what our spouse is saying, and give into that a little bit.
Because when you give them a little bit of room, where you give them a little bit of grace, that I say, I see what you're saying, and I understand a little bit. where you're coming from. Because I think what the biggest issue with this entire topic is defensiveness, is exactly what you've said. I think the first issue is that it's not talked about. So I think that's why we're addressing, we're calling out the elephant in the room.
Yeah, yeah.
The iPhone in the marriage. But second of all, it's not, it's dealt with such defensiveness because for some reason we hold on to these devices like they're prized, and the things we do on them, we keep them.
It's
very
like the modern day bail. It's the one thing I think that it's the one thing that is that prevents us and holds us back from developing a deeper relationship with others, but also with Jesus.
Oh my goodness!
Because when we're
yes.
bored or when we're tired, I mean, it's the thing we're turning to.
And to that point, when are we ever bored now?
Yeah, that's right.
Because of it. We don't allow ourselves to feel boredom, which it's in those silent moments where the Lord speaks. If we don't allow those quiet moments, when will we hear him? Well, I was just going to, and when will we hear each other?
Yeah, when are we going to hear each other? And that's...
We're filling up those silent moments that used to be maybe filled with conversation, hopefully, or even just, I mean, to sit together in silence, but when... doing something together. I mean, I feel like a lot of family time now, especially couple time, has now been replaced with, instead of doing activities together, like when's the last time you actually, I don't know, built something together or did something.
And that's what we're getting into today. That's what we're going to talk about in terms of how do we reconnect in our marriage and battle that technology, address that elephant in the room. And I think it first starts by calling it out, by labeling it. When you label it and address it and just call out the elephant in the room.
Yes.
Call out the elephant in our marriage.
Yeah.
It starts there.
I think because so often the offense is not talked about. And so what happens is that there's so much hurt that's underneath it. And we often react in very unhelpful ways, passive aggressive, even doing the same behavior. We just get on our phones too.
So what I want to suggest then today, number one, we're going to talk about three ways to reconnect in your marriage in light of the iPhone. And the first one we're going to talk about today is beginning to justify our time with one another over our phone. Mm-hmm. Because the natural tendency is to justify our actions. Our natural tendency is to defend ourselves. And Christy and I have gotten to a point where we're realizing that if one or the other addresses the other, like if Christy is addressing me and saying, can you put down your phone? I'm realizing that, okay, maybe I've been on it too much. Or even if I haven't been on it too much and I feel like I have justification in being on it in that moment, there's a reason deep down that Christy doesn't want me on it in that moment, and I need to justify my time with her more than I justify my time on my phone.
Ooh, that's good, but that's so hard. I think what it comes back to, though, just as you were saying that, my defenses went up a little bit, and I realize it is how the accuser, which is really what it is in this instance, the accuser approaches the accusee. It's
tone of voice.
It's tone of voice. Huge. Because if I come in flippant and sassy and, I mean, coming in with anger, I guess it really is.
You're
kind
short.
Of masked over. Yeah.
You
I
get
do
short.
That. I do. But obviously your defenses are going to get up. Obviously you're going to get, you're not going to want to be like, oh, yeah, sure, honey, let me put my phone down.
And to be very, I mean, to be very transparent, I mean, that's one issue that we deal with in our marriage.
Huge.
Is we have the tendency to not go in lovingly addressing these things.
No.
We tend to get defensive and we're short with one another.
Yeah. I think it comes out of temper and tired and all those things, but it comes out really wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't help the thing. But, and I think that's what we have learned is that if I can approach, you know, if it's my turn, if I can approach you in a way that's grace-filled and not totally accusatory, your response is already, your defenses are down so much that it's like, oh yeah, just let me finish this. Or sure, that's, yeah, I shouldn't be on it.
And I think that's the key piece, is if we can truly get to a spot where, and this takes work, this is a process, just like marriage is, there's not, you know, it's all a process.
Not a quick fix.
Is the ability to be able to, over time, seek the underlying motivation of your spouse's heart.
Mm.
And instead of defending yourself, yep. is seeking what is really going on within Christy's heart right now that is causing her to react to me the way that she is. And that is a humbling thing to do.
Yeah.
Because there's the chance that you feel like you might get walked on.
Yeah.
There's a chance that you feel like you might be right in your actions, and even though you feel right for what you're doing, like you were getting groceries and it was right in what you were doing, I was still feeling disconnected.
I was so defensive then.
In the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
But justifying our time with one another rather than our phone. And one thing that we talk about a lot, and you will hear this over and over and over again in everything that we do, is being emotionally safe.
Mm-hmm.
That being emotionally safe is the key to living, loving, and leading well and staying connected in our relationships. And the key to being emotionally safe is being able to seek the underlying motivation
yeah.
of our spouse's heart.
Oh, yeah.
Number two,
cuddling one another before cuddling our phone, which we kind of talked about a little bit already.
That can personally for me, just the ability to be able
to
physically touch.
You are so much more of a cuddler than I am.
Cuddle one another before cuddling. Now listen, most people check their phones as the first activity of the day
yep.
before even getting out of bed.
I wrote a blog post about that. Do you remember that a little while ago? Where I was talking like to the iPhone, like it was like a love letter, but it was like, it's the first thing I go to. It's the last thing I say goodbye to at night. Because you realize you're treating it like it's the most prized possession in your home more than your family.
What my iPhone stole from me was that blog.
That's what it was. Yeah, that was
what my iPhone stole from
me. And that was before we even were addressing all this. It was just my own journey realizing how much that small little rectangular screen controls my life.
Well, and now let me take it to a different level, because this is not just about our marriage. This is also about our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll cover this in other podcasts. We cover this a lot in different blogs that we write. But consider this. One researcher found that kids are acutely aware of their parents' disengagement from one another and even view their parents as hypocrites when it comes to setting screen limits in the home.
Mm. They watch. They watch more than we realize. Our daughter said to me the other day, Mama, phone down.
Hmm.
And she's two. So this is, and it's so innate to us that our use of it, our holding of it, the fact when it's in our face, we don't even realize it. And to our own defense as a society, this is something that's replaced a computer. It's replaced the landline telephone. It's replaced our planners, our home calendars. It's replaced writing letters. So everything is existing on this thing.
Absolutely. And the way that I describe this too is to balance this conversation, because it's true. I mean, we use phones. We need to use our phones.
And they're great.
Our lives are tied to them. And the way I describe this is that the first automobile was made in 1908, the Ford Model T, 1908. It wasn't until 1949 that standard disc brakes were introduced onto the automobile. Now, think about that. So our car's all bad. Every time I go out and I speak, I ask audiences, how many of you hate cars so much that you refuse to drive them because you hate them? And I've never once had anybody raise their hand. Thank God, because I don't know what I'd do in that moment. But cars are good things. They get us from point A to point B. But without brakes, without safety measures, they take lives.
Yeah.
And our technology is the same way. They are good things. They can be used for a lot of good, but without breaks, my fear is that they can take the emotional and spiritual lives of an entire generation of kids.
Yes.
And we as the parents are the role models for our kids. And it's critical that we as parents set that precedent. And one of the key things here is in this whole conversation is that the iPad itself first released in 2010. The iPad is only
what?
6 years old.
That's so, not true, is
so,
it?
Yeah, and so we are in our infancy.
Oh, my word.
We
okay.
are in our infancy with a lot of these technologies. If we wait 41 years before we start discussing setting limits, especially as it relates to our relationships, it's changing our brains.
Totally.
And so it can be used for good, but we also have to realize that without safety measures, without putting on brakes, it can be used for bad. And that's really what we're talking about here today. Justifying our time with one another rather than the phone. And then number two, cuddling one another before cuddling our phone.
Can I just say to the defense of moms who are cuddled and touched all day long that there's a reason sometimes we don't want to be cuddled at night. That's just ancillary. But I just wanted to throw that out there. I don't think I'm alone in that. I don't. Okay, number three. We have what we have affectionately called an ENUP in our marriage. An electronic nuptial agreement. And it's awesome.
It is awesome.
At first, it maybe doesn't feel awesome because you have to come to an agreement.
You have to come to an agreement on what limits you
will
set.
And that can be a little...
But what's
tough
great about our
first.
Electronic nuptial agreement, and we are going to make this electronic nuptial agreement available to you at the end of this podcast. So at the bottom of the podcast, you'll see a link to be able to download a free ENUP, a free electronic nuptial agreement that you can be able to begin having conversations with your spouse about. Because we found that when we started to create expectations...
Yeah.
It started to clear up so many arguments. It started to clear up so many...
And just that underlying distrust or that under... Maybe not distrust is the word, but just that underlying anger toward one another. Because, you know, he's on his phone again. Yeah, again. Now that we outlined the times that was totally fine to be on our phone, the times that there was absolutely no phones... And the times that we actually turn off all technology just for the health and spiritual, emotional, all that health of our whole family.
And it's gotten to a point now where in our marriage, at least, I mean, we still have disagreements and we still have issues as
really?
It relates to our phone.
Oh, really?
But what it's done is it's opened up, now that we have clear expectations about it, what it's done is it's opened up a whole other conversation. It's helped make me aware, I believe, even more so of when I'm using my phone with my kids.
Yeah.
And the influence that I'm having on them as it relates to the priorities, because now it's not just conversation with my spouse. Now it's also conversation with, am I playing with my kids when they're asking me to play?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I also on my phone? Are they tugging at my leg, you know, pant leg because
Which
they want to be playing with
me?
Which
just breaks my heart, and you know? So, I had a friend the other day who wrote, she'd been off social media for I think it was 3 months, and she said, because I wanted to put my phone away, because I thought if I turned my phone off and it came out of my hand, that maybe I'd hold my kids' hands a little more. Mm. Like, that gave me tears. Like, that's the day and age we're living in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe we'd hold our kids' hands a little more.
As you set up this ENUP, one of the things that we want to begin by suggesting is that you create your own limits as it relates to your marriage, as it relates to your relationship, because every family is unique. And we're not in any way suggesting you need to do what we do. We're just going to name off a couple of things that we do in our marriage as it relates to our phones and as suggestions. Not as saying, hey, this is what we believe you need to be doing as a family. However, I am a firm believer in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that Moses, in his legacy speech, his farewell speech, if you will, is addressing the church. He's addressing Israel, and he's saying, hear, O Israel, here is a way. Here is the way to instill in your children a love for God and his commands into the next generation. And he wasn't adding anything to our day. All he was doing was pointing out 4 key times of the day that we can truly connect with our kids and teach them the ways of God and teach them the love of God. And that is when they wake up in the morning, when we put them to bed at night, during meal times, and then also when you walk along the way, which today's version of that
drive time
is drive time. Yep. And so we have protected those four key areas in a lot of ways. We have some flexibility around this. Again, we are not all black and white as it relates to this. We have it set uniquely for our family. One area we are black and white in, and that is the dinner table. Wherever we are, no matter whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, we do not put screens at the table. That is a hard and fast rule in our home.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And it's been a great one, I think.
I mean, it's we have been able to connect with our kids. Our kids enjoy dinner time. Mm-hmm. Our son is praying more often, which is really super cool. We talk about our favorite times of the day. And we tell stories now, which is interesting. And what's radical is research shows that when we tell stories with our kids at the dinner table, the research is vast as it relates to this. When we put our kids, we tell stories about their grandparents or where what was happening when they were born.
How mom and dad met.
How mom and dad met. Struggles that we've had as a family and have overcome.
Yeah.
These stories put our children in the context and in a role of a greater, grander story within your family lineage, and it actually builds their brain.
Yeah.
It actually builds their brain to live, love, and lead well. And so replacing technology and screens with stories at dinner time and at the table is crucial to those.
What I love about all that research, too, is that there is nothing else that can replace that in building the child's brain. It is only you, the family,
you,
telling those stories.
You, the parent. Absolutely.
No technology, no special school, no Ivy League education. It's so cool.
You, the parent. Face-to-face eye contact.
Yep.
One of the other ones that we do is a fast, from a 24-hour fast from Saturday sundown to Sunday sundown from social media, primarily from social media. We don't live near family, and so we Skype a lot on Sundays or that kind of thing. So we use screens for that, but we are not on social media for a 24-hour fast every week from Saturday sundown to Sunday sundown, because we believe in Sunday being able to actually shut your brain down and be able to have a Sabbath, to be present with your family, to be present with God, whatever that looks like for you. That's one of the things that we do.
Because I don't think people understand or recognize that dull sense of anxiousness almost that we sort of have day in and day out, because we're constantly having to check our phones and get back to this and respond to that person and update on this or whatever. So that's for us. Then there's no special reason from Saturday sundown to Sunday sundown. A lot of people have asked why we've chosen that. That's just for us as a family, plus with work schedules and our church and everything, that's just a great time for us to unplug. We're not really needed then. So, but it is so refreshing. Oh my word. That's like one of my favorite things that we've ever done in our family. Hmm. Truly, truly. It's the most, I feel free again. Isn't that weird?
That is weird. But it's true.
That we've gotten to that point in our lives that we're like somehow chained to this device that we love so much, but actually we loathe it. It's weird.
And remember this phrase. Anything you cannot fast from owns you.
Mm-hmm.
I repeat that. Anything you cannot fast from owns you. If you have a hard time fasting from your phone, rather than you owning it, it likely owns you. And if it owns you, it will have ripple effects into all of your relationships under your roof.
Yeah. So and a lot of people, there's a lot of people that don't struggle with this. There's a lot of families that do a really great job at this. They don't seem to struggle with it. But this is for those of us who are, if you're like us at all, it has just been woven into the fabric of our lives. And I hope this is somewhat helpful. Freeing to just call it out.
So we're going to wrap up here. Three areas that we talked about in addressing the elephant in the room. Number one, practice justifying our time with one another rather than our phone. Number two, cuddle one another before cuddling your phone.
That's my favorite.
And number three, set an electronic nuptial agreement in your marriage.
That's my favorite. It's in black and white.
Set the tone, set the pace for your family, because our kids do what we do more than what we say. And when we talk about and we set expectations on the elephant in the room, I mean the iPhone, yeah. It takes away the power it has in your marriage.
Yep. So stop justifying, start cuddling, and set an eNup. Are you going to tell them how to get that?
You can find the eNup in the show notes. Also, I just want to make sure we let you know, the eNup is also one of many resources that we have in the curriculum, the Screen Balanced Family, 6 Secrets to a More Connected Family in the 21st Century. And you can find that on our website at drjoshandchristy.com. That is Dr. Josh and Christy, C-H-R-I-S-T-I.com.
That's right. And actually, while you're at the website, if you're checking out those resources, we want to offer you a discount code for our podcast listeners only, because we love you and we're so thankful for you. So if you just put in JC Podcast when you're checking out, that'll give you 20% off anything in the store. For more information and resources, or to connect with us, go to drjoshandchristy.com. We're also on Instagram and Facebook at Dr. Josh and Christy.
Be sure to head over to iTunes and subscribe to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast. Write a review. The more positive reviews we get, the more people learn about it. Tell a friend and be sure to send us ideas, thoughts, and questions you may also want us to cover on the podcast.
It's an honor walking alongside you.
We'll see you next week.